Good afternoon. Like I always do, I'll start with a quick synopsis of our last performance. Obviously, it was a significant game and a great game night atmosphere. I thought the energy was really good, but it's responsibility that comes along with that energy. I thought the guys did a nice job of managing the energy and playing with an edge, but also playing clean. You know, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that I thought it was good that we weren't highly penalized in the game. I think we only had one penalty in the football game. And to go into a game like that with a lot on the line versus a really good opponent and play with the edge that we played with but still have the ability to play clean enough not to be highly penalized, I thought it was a really positive sign for us, not only in that game but also moving forward, because obviously we're going to be in a similar environment and then some this week. I thought we got significant plays in all three phases, and I think that's another thing that's important as you push into January football, that you acknowledge that when it's good on good, that game-deciding plays can come from a variety of places and usually do. When you look at highlights of January football, is that. It's highlights. It's defensive splash plays. It's special team splash plays. And obviously, it's offensive splash plays. And we got splash plays from all three phases of our football team. I thought, obviously, the punt return to get started by Antonio was big and really was a catalyst for a lot of positivity. We made plays defensively, whether it's Bryce McCain, some first-half interceptions, or Antoine Blake making a play, or plays that he made in the second half. And then, obviously, the offensive splash plays. But you can get them from a variety of places other than the usual unit offense or the usual suspects, 26 and 84, it helps. Of course, obviously, 7 is always touching the football. I'll acknowledge that we also fell short in some areas. You know, it wasn't a perfect performance. We've yet to have one of those. You know, I thought we struggled running the ball and went in the line of scrimmage at times, and, you know, we were comfortable with that, at least in the early stages. You know, we were looking for some first and 10 play action pass like opportunities because how we'd run the ball against them last time. And we thought over the course of the game we would evolve into a run game. And obviously when Le'Veon went down, that changed that plan. But even with that plan in place, not enough consistent success running the football there in the early stages. And I thought defensively, I thought we had to warm up to stop in the run, and we can't do that. When you're playing good teams and good backs like Jeremy Hill, obviously, he hurt us early, and I thought we settled into defending the run, and we got better as the game wore on. I like for us to start with a higher bar in that regard defensively. From an injury standpoint, we'll do similar things this week that we did last week. We'll work a number of guys who are working through things like Ike and Troy. We'll see what their practice participation holds for us this week. Matt Spaeth, I thought, had positive reviews getting back into play. Obviously, he's playing with a brace. We'll see what he looks like, the ramifications of that participation. We'll see what he looks like as we get into the week. And then, obviously, we'll be watching closely the Le'Veon Bell situation from an injury standpoint. The situation remains to be what I said it was after the game. He's got no structural damage. He had a hyperextension. There is soreness and pain and discomfort associated with that. I don't know whether or not he's going to be available for the game. We're going to take it day by day. I just met with him moments ago. He was down there on a stationary bike training like he's preparing for the tour to France. But, you know, but that's Le'Veon. The big thing for us to do is prepare for if he does not play. Obviously, if he does, that's easy. We're gonna do our due diligence and make alternate plans for if he doesn't, and we'll leave the light on for him. And I know that he's interested in that. Really, no new news there. It's just going to be based on how he feels and how effective he is. Just rest assured that we're going to make the right decision. We won't be swayed by circumstance one way or the other, the magnitude of the game and so forth. If he's healthy, he's able to protect himself, and he could be a positive contributor to our efforts, we'll play him. If we can't answer yes to all of those questions and then some, we won't. And it's just that simple. And we'll proceed with no excuses. We feel confident that we can field the type of team that's capable of winning this game, but also any game, if given a legitimate time to prepare. And that's what we have. We have a legitimate time to prepare. We can identify some components that we're working with. So we'll do that and move forward. Obviously, on a personnel note, we're looking at some free agent options, if you will. We've got Ben Tate in the building today as a possibility. We'll explore that. We'll not only explore his health, but, you know, his mindset, where he is and how he potentially fits. And if we do it, obviously, it'll be a necessary corresponding personnel move, but we're not at that point yet. But I will acknowledge he's in the building because I assume that some of you guys have seen him. So I'm not going to avoid that. Let's talk about Baltimore for a minute. And obviously, is AFC North football continued for us? That's exciting. We know them, but they also know us. I think one thing that history tells me regarding this game is the fact that we know them and they know us doesn't make it any less exciting. The game is oftentimes decided by splash, whether it's them or us, whether it's in any of the phases like I talked about earlier. We got to deal with the likes of Jacoby and the splash pay potential that he has in the return game. You know, it seems like at times when they've beaten us in the recent history of this series, it's always because Helote ends up with the ball in his hand, you know, whether he picks a ball off or something crazy like that. You know, Torrey Smith getting behind somebody, and we've had positivity of our own that splash play oriented, whether it's big plays in the kicking game or Antonio on that big third down catch and run the last time we played him, or Marcus Whedon on the deep ball the last time we played him. One thing that the history of this thing tells me is that, you know, splash plays are going to be an element of it, but it's not something that you can prepare for. You can't go out with the intent of getting splash plays. You just got to be solid. You got to be sound. You got to play hard. You got to play smart. I'm sure they feel the same way. Not a lot has changed since the last time we played these guys. If you look at their offensive components, Joe is still Joe. He's still the guy that makes good and quick decisions for him and spreads the ball around to a variety of people. He throws a great, not a good, he throws a great deep ball. You know, he's got a great rapport with Torrey Smith and Steve Smith. That's been troublesome for us in the past. One of those guys, I think it was Torrey, got behind Bryce early in a football game the last time we played him for about a 35-yard score on an easy catch and throw. We got to, of course, minimize Forsett. Man, he's had an incredible year for them and been a big-time catalyst for them offensively. We got to do a good job of minimizing his impact on the game. Obviously, the Smith brothers at wideout, Torrey and Steve, are dynamic players. Steve Smith is longtime one of the best in the business, really tough competitor. I imagine his juices will be flowing here in January. Torrey's a legitimate deep ball threat, big down the field. I know they're going through some changes in the offensive line, but nothing of any significance. Those guys have been components of their outfit, and I imagine it's not going to change them much schematically. Owen Daniels was a significant part of the last matchup. Hopefully we do a better job of minimizing his impact on the game this time around as we did last time. He's a good player at the tight end position. On defense, it's really kind of more the same, the usual suspects, those bookends, those edge guys, Suggs and Dumerville. It starts there for us, working to minimize their impact on the game and neutralize it. Notice I didn't say stop. Those are two dynamic players. I'm sure that everybody that plays them would like to stop them. But they probably got 30 sacks between them. So not a lot of success there largely when you look at the big picture in terms of people's efforts in that regard. We'll take our turn at it and work to minimize them. Helote Nada is back. This guy's made as many splash plays in this recent history of this series as anybody, whether it's blowing up the running game or making plays in the backfield or being aware and catching the ball. I think this guy probably's got two interceptions against us. But it's also good to know that we're not the only ones. I think he's got two interceptions this season. He's just that type of dynamic, big-bodied guy. He's a big-bodied guy that can play in all situations and circumstance. He plays more snaps than most people that look like him. And he's a big-time, got a big-time impact on the game. C.J. Mosley is having a really good year at linebacker for them, for a young guy, or for anybody for that matter, is having a Pro Bowl caliber year. He's an all situations linebacker. He does a lot of heavy lifting for him in terms of some of the matchups and man-to-man and underneath coverage and things of that nature. He and Le'Veon had a big-time battle the last time they played on third down in the underneath coverage stuff. There are some new components in the secondary since the last time we played them, but those guys appear to be representing themselves very well and meshing and coming together very well. We'll see how we match up against those guys. There's nothing new about old 21 Webb over there. He's been around and playing at a high level for them for some time. I imagine that he and AB going to do what they always do, which is have a good battle. And I imagine that's going to be central in terms of the outcome of the game for both teams. And then in the special teams game, obviously they got rock solid specialists. They got a leg up on us in that regard, just with their net punting relative to ours. And obviously Jacoby is a long time established dual threat return guy who's hurt us in the past, and particularly the recent past. We got to work to minimize his impact on the game. But like I've said in recent weeks, man, we've been challenged in that way here in the last month, you know, whether it's, you know, Devin Hester or Adam Jones or even DeAnthony or Niles Davis in Kansas City. It seems like week in and week out, we've been challenged with some really unique and talented return men. So obviously from that standpoint, this week will be no different. We got a lot of respect for Jones and his ability to impact the game in the return game, and we got to be on guard and be great, not only at kick, but also coverage. I'll be happy to address any questions you might have.
You said that you're looking to prepare this week as if you don't have Bell. Does that mean that Josh Harris is going to be prepared as the number one back?
It means that we're looking at our options, and obviously Josh Harris is at the top of the list. Conventional wisdom would indicate that. But we're not opposed to going outside the box with how we might prepare a winning formula for this football game.
Can you share some background as to what you liked about Josh, both in signing him and in terms of what you've seen of him practice squad and beyond?
Well, in signing him, man, he was willing and available, you know, and I like those two things. But the same could be said about this moment right now. He's willing and available. Josh is a hardworking guy. His story is not a sexy one like a lot of guys. He didn't come into this league with a lot of fanfare, or even to this football team with a lot of fanfare. And really, a lot of us didn't know a lot about him even after we acquired him. But we pride ourselves in giving every man an opportunity. And over the course of his time here, he's proven that he belongs, not only in terms of talent, but what he's willing to do, his day-to-day approach to work and so forth. He's earned the respect of the guys. And I'm sure the guys are excited about watching him step up and be a more significant contributor to our efforts.
Mike, do you have confidence in Josh Harris if he's your number one guy Saturday?
I do. I have confidence in anybody that's on our 53. If I didn't, they wouldn't be on our 53. Anybody can be a reason why we're successful, and I mean that.
Is the running back position the easiest position to come in and have an immediate impact if you come from outside the organization?
I wouldn't say that, you know. You know, all positions have their positive aspects and their negative aspects in terms of pliability or ability to infuse themselves into the formula.
In terms of Le'Veon's injury, has there been any progress, positive progress, in the 48 hours since the game?
I'm sure there has, but I hadn't spent a lot of time asking about it because I'm not seeking comfort. I'd rather spend my time focusing on the what-ifs from a negative standpoint if he's unavailable. If he is available, that's easy. We've done that 16 to 17 weeks already.
The fact that he's on an exercise bike, does that show that he's got some motion mobility? Is that a good sign he's able to pedal the bike?
If you're looking for comfort, it is. You know, but there won't be any bikes on the field on Saturday night.
Mike, you mentioned he has there's some soreness and pain. Is that what he would have to deal with, or is there the risk of further injury with that?
Again, I hadn't asked a lot of questions regarding it because it's irrelevant to me as I sit here today. I try to get as singularly focused as I can on the variables that matter and that are within my control. And his overall health or where he is not within my control. Our plan is, particularly if we don't have him. So I spent a lot of time talking about that as opposed to getting minute-by-minute updates of how he feels, his range of motion, or the level of soreness. I'll let you guys do that.
Mike, how careful do you have to be with a guy like Le'Veon, first playoff game?
he wants to play, that he gives you an honest assessment of how he really is feeling.
You know, I said that earlier when I first talked about him. We're going to do what's right, and we're not going to be swayed by circumstance.
Is it simply a matter then, Mike, of if he's cleared by doctors, he plays? You're just waiting for their word?
No, I mean, guys have been cleared by doctors in the past, and I've chosen not to play them, you know, as recently as last week.
Mike, what do you need or want to hear from Tate to ensure that his mind is in the right place?
You know, that's between he and I, you know, particularly because I don't know him. I'll spend a little time with him as soon as I get done with you guys.
Le'Veon's obviously been a big part of the passing game, too. I mean, is Josh a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield, or would you see Dree maybe being in that role if the situation warrants?
You know, Le'Veon contributes in a lot of ways. And when you talk about replacing an impact guy like him, it's not a one-man job. It never is. It's a multiple-man job, and it might be a multiple-man job cross-positionally. It doesn't necessarily mean we're going to play with a back on third down. It may mean that we play with an additional wideout or an additional tight end. We're going to turn over all the stones to make sure that we're prepared to replace his significance. And it just may not be running back jersey for running back jersey. It's some more depth to it than that, obviously.
Are you talking about not taking a lot of tough shots from the opposing teams, or maybe not put too much stress on other parts of his body?
I'm just talking about him being him and being able to play in the manner in which he plays. And we've all watched him play. We know what that is.
Mike, whether it's Ben Tate or another new guy, how realistic is it for a running back to come in and learn what he needs to learn and be a significant contributor just days later?
Oh, it's realistic. It's realistic at any position. I think a man rightly motivated and given time to prepare can do it in a number of days. You know, we brought James Harrison back after Carolina. I know he had been here in the past, and it seemingly appears to be a plug and play, but that guy had been away from us for over 12 months. He had been a part of another defense, had learned the intricacies of another defense, had focused on those intricacies, and really hadn't been in a training camp setting, was legitimately getting off the couch, and he played for us that weekend. It's not the case with Ben, obviously. He's been in a training camp situation. He's played football this year. He's had a helmet on as recently as a couple weeks ago. So the physical aspects of getting in playing shape and just physically getting ready to play is an element of the equation that is mute.
Mike, even with Bell, the running game the last 3 weeks with teams stacking against it after the game in Cincinnati has not been as productive in the past. Does there come a time when you say they're geared up to stop this, we're going to go in a different direction, we're going to pass the ball, we're going to make them pay for stacking at the line of scrimmage?
Really, that's what we've done the last several weeks. You know, Ben probably had 200 yards passing or whatever at the half last week. I don't know what his numbers were the week before. You know, it's about that balance that we've continually talked about striking so that we can be whatever it is we need to be and win regardless of circumstance, whether it's schematics, whether it's the matchups of the day, or whether it's a significant injury within our unit. We feel comfortable that we have the type of balance that will allow us to spread the labor around and still be productive. And that's what you're looking for, and, you know, largely over the course of the season, I feel like we found it. You know, we may not have Le'Veon due to injury, but there have been games where we didn't have a significant contribution from him in the running game because of the schematics of our opponent. And we found ways to be productive not only with him, but without him, including other people. And if this week unfolds in the manner which we'd like, that'll be the end result. Regardless of whether or not he's available or not, or whether or not the Ravens, you know, render that element of our game ineffective, largely we got to get the job done. We got to score one more point than they do, and that's our mentality.
Mike, Ryan Shazier got his most extensive playing time in a couple months. Could you assess his performance?
I thought he played well. I thought the arrows pointed up with him. I thought he's done a nice job of getting back on the moving train, if you will. We've talked about it in recent weeks. You know, health doesn't always dictate participation, particularly as guys define roles and guys ascend and make plays. Those guys did a nice job of ascending when he was out. They did a nice job making it difficult for him to work back into the fold. He's done a nice job of working back into the fold. And the consequence of that is, obviously, we feel comfortable with our depth at that position, and we feel comfortable playing any of those guys, and we utilize all those guys in a very positive way Sunday night.
battling for snaps during the practice week?
You know, I don't know that it's a battle per se. I know that all those guys want to be contributors and want to be large contributors. I think oftentimes it just depends on what personality that we want, how we view their skill set relative to the opponent or the matchup or circumstance or situation. It really creates a lot of flexibility from a coach's perspective, and it's really a good problem to have. I look forward to getting in with the defensive staff this afternoon and pondering those possibilities.
Mike, you mentioned the upward arrow for Shazier. Would you say the same thing about your corners at this point, the way McCain, Blake, Gay have played?
I don't think they need an endorsement from me. I think the video displays that.
Mike, Will Allen, what you're asking him to do in the defense, is it very similar to what Troy was doing, or different skill sets, different roles?
Very similar. Very similar.
And if Troy, this question might seem crazy not long ago, but if Troy says he can play and he's medically cleared to play, does he automatically get a helmet?
You know, like I said, regarding all those injury circumstances, we're going to do what's right. And the decisions are complex, and they're not going to boil down to just simply medical clearance. We're too far in the journey for that to be the case. There are complexities to these things, and we're going to deal with them on a case-by-case basis at the appropriate time. Obviously, the number one element of the discussion is the overall health of the individual, whether it's Troy or Ike or Le'Veon or Shazier. That's the significant element of the discussion, but not the sole element of the discussion.
Will Allen solidified things in the secondary?
No, he's been a component of it, but you know, I wouldn't necessarily characterize him as a catalyst, no.
I was just going to say, why has the you've talked about individuals, but why has that unit, the secondary, played better the last, what, month or so?
Time. I think that's been on the come for even more than that. But there are hiccups along the way that maybe not doesn't allow you to see it, you know, see it coming. I thought that, you know, we made some significant plays, even going back outside of the last three or four games in that area. But if you give up an 80-yarder before the half at Tennessee, or you let A.J. Green get behind you in Cincinnati for an 80-yarder, you forget about the positivity in the other 70 snaps. These guys have been on the come for. You know, a number of months, and really they're just getting solid. They're minimizing big plays, and they're making plays of their own. I just think big picture-wise, they've had an upward trajectory over the larger part of the season. But again, like I said, from time to time, an incident or two happens that doesn't allow you to see it or makes it convenient not to see it.
How much of that has been a better pass rush?
You know, they work hand-in-hand, rushing coverage. You know, I'll never deny that, but I think to simply put it on that would be a disservice to the growth and development of those guys. They've done a nice job. They've created probably more opportunity for our rush as well. I think, you know, it's a mutually beneficial relationship.
Will Johnson's a guy who's carried the ball in the past. Will you look at him in practice this week as possibly filling in that
role? We look at him every week in that possibility. It won't be because of circumstance. That's just a skill set that he has, and that's something that we do routinely.
Mike, talking to some of your players, they say they expect these performances from Ben. Even you said, you know, Ben being Ben. Is he at the point of his career where it's expected for him to do the 300 yards every game now?
He's been there.
You almost take it for granted?
Yes.
Anything final for Coach? Mike, Dree Archer in pass protection, he's a smaller guy. Looked like there was a situation on the interception where maybe he knew
his not his issue. He did a nice job on the play. The ball was gone. The guy he was blocking had no consequence or effect on the play.
In the larger picture, are you comfortable with him in that role?
I'm comfortable utilizing him with what he does best, and if I want him to block Suggs, then I'm stupid.
Anything final?
Mike, how would you characterize your feeling toward the Ravens and toward John Harbaugh?
I wouldn't, you know. They're the nameless gray faces that we play this week.
Fake punt. Could you describe the execution issue that you guys had?
They did a nice job. We didn't.
Is that something that somebody should have recognized and checked out of, or you don't have an option to do that?
Namely me.
All right. Thank you.